Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, my friend, how are we doing this week?
We are doing well. Definitely excited about the U.S. Olympic team trials here coming up at Penn State, and could have used a little less wind with that blue-white game, but it was good to get a little taste of football nonetheless in spring as well. So pretty good week, all things considered.
Very good sports week for us. Before we get started, just want to make an announcement at Keystone Sports. We are partnering with F45 Gym in downtown State College. This is where they have their certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity working with the Keystone Sports Network listeners. You are able to try out F45's training center for 2 weeks for free. And your time doesn't even start till you take the first class. So this is good through the end of the month. If you take your first class April 30th, you have 2 weeks from then. It's great. This is like personal training in a group class environment. Fantastic. They also have access. Jeff, this is really cool. They have something called the in-body scanner. You step on this device, and you know how there's such a thing as body mass index, which will tell you, you know, if you're obese or not. The thing is with that, it doesn't differentiate between fat and muscle. This machine actually does. So if you're working out for a couple of weeks and you see, wow, I didn't lose any weight at all, this machine can tell you that you've changed fat into muscle, okay? And it even could do it by body part. It shows your arms, trunk, legs. Really cool. And you would have access to the in-body scanner during your two-week free trial. You could take as many classes as you want. Check it out. That's F45. If you want to call for more info, it's 814-826-4045. All right, Jeff, you mentioned it. The Olympic wrestling trials at Penn State, that's a pretty big deal to have in little old State College.
It is. It's just unfortunate, Jim. You'd like it to be in a year where, you know, there was some interest in Penn State wrestling. You'd like it to be a year where there were some Penn State wrestlers, either current or former, that were actually involved. But unfortunately, oh, wait a second. No, at every weight, there's multiple future, current, and past Nittany Lions. And yes, it is going to be an absolute blast. For the college, for the wrestling community at large, but for the Penn State wrestling community in particular, yep, this is going to be a pretty special 2 days.
It is. Well, how about just giving us the overview time for the event? Now, we are recording this on Thursday. I think most people will be hearing this Friday afternoon. What are the logistics of the event, what the times and everything else, getting tickets? How does that all work?
Yeah, so the tickets are available through, I think through multiple sites, but the Bryce Jordan Center site and GoPSU Sports would be good places to start. But I'm sure the secondary market is robust with the tickets now. So if you just Google tickets, if you're still wanting to go, I would Google tickets for U.S. Olympic team wrestling trials and, see what you get. The session, the first session will have already finished as this airs on Friday, but, the finals will be Saturday night. We have sessions coming up here this evening, Friday evening at 6, and then it'll resume on Saturday at 10 a.m., and then we'll finish up again with 6:30 with the finals on Saturday night. But just a who's who when it comes to U.S. wrestling here. One of the unfortunate things is that we go from 10 weight classes to 6 in the Olympic years because of the idiocy of the International Olympic Committee. And it really is, I think, a disservice to the sport and certainly to the competitors, not just from the U.S., but worldwide, who are used to the 10 weight class brackets. And now, again, when you go to six, you're forcing people, a lot of the wrestlers, to go up or down to a weight that is not their normal competitive weight. And I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's healthy for the wrestlers. I don't think it's good for the sport. And I think it's bad for the Olympics as well. That being said, the competition in those six weight classes now will be fierce here in the freestyle tournament, which is, I think, what most are focused on. There's obviously the freestyle wrestling and the Greco-Roman on the men's side, and then the women's as well. Women's is freestyle only. And so 18 participants to represent the U.S. will be selected when this thing is over Saturday night.
Well, talk about the format. How is this? Is it a single elimination at each weight class, Jeff, with seeding?
Yep. So there's a what they call a mini tournament. So which is actually a pretty significant major tournament. But the in some of the weight classes, you have the finalists already in place. Now, in some cases, it's the finalists for the mini tournament, so that they'll kind of advance to the finals of the mini tournament and then face the winner of whoever comes out of that mini tournament. I think actually the only weight class this year is 86 kilos, where you have David Taylor already in the finals, and then Zahid Valencia is already in the finals of the mini tournament. So Valencia will await the winner of the mini tournament, which Aaron Brooks right now is the number one seed in. So Brooks, if he advances to the finals, would then face Valencia in the finals of the mini tournament. That's all single elimination, and then it's a best of three to select the ultimate representative here. So David Taylor does not wrestle until Saturday night, and he'll face the winner. If the seeds hold true, it would be between Aaron Brooks and Zahid Valencia from earlier in the day in a best of three competition. So again, the weight classes are just unbelievable when you look at them. There's, Zane Richards, who won the U.S. spot on the world team last year, and Thomas Gilman, who's with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, a former Iowa standout. They are seeded 1-2 in the tournament. There's nobody else awaiting there. So those two, if they get to the finals, would meet in the best of three at 57 kilos. At 65 kilos, you have Zane Rutherford waiting in the finals of the mini tournament. Nick Lee is the number one seed, and Yanni Diakomihalis, and they've had a great rivalry there, those two. Those would be your top two seeds. Some other wrestlers of note. Let's go back to, we'll just go real quickly through the weight classes here for men's freestyle. But other wrestlers of note at 57 kilos, Luke Lilladol, who's an incoming freshman for Penn State, is the number nine seed. Nico Megalutis, four-time All-American, national champion, and three-time finalist for Penn State, is the five seed. Spencer Lee, the Iowa great, is the four seed there. And then you also have Nick Siriano, who, of course, wrestled at one time at Penn State, the number six seed. And Jax Forrest out of Forest Hills High School, a high school kid who is the number 10 seed in that weight class, worth watching. As I mentioned, Lee and Diakomihalis and Rutherford, they're your top contenders at 65 kilos. Bo Bartlett, NCAA finalist for Penn State, is the number five seed at that weight. And a couple of other wrestlers of note would be Jesse Mendez, the national champion for Ohio State, an 11 seed. Joey McKenna, former Stanford and Ohio State standout, is the six seed. And then you have Andrew Lirez, former national champion, and James Green, the three seed from Nebraska, Lirez out of Northern Colorado, the four seed. That weight class, well, you can say it about every weight class. I was going to say that weight class is loaded. Every weight class is loaded, so that's just redundant. 74 kilos, Kyle Dake is into the best of three series. Jordan Burroughs, of course, legendary figure in American wrestling, is the number one seed in the mini tournament. Jason Nolf is the number two seed, the three-time national champion from Penn State. A couple of other wrestlers of note, Vincenzo Joseph, two-time national champion for the Nittany Lions and three-time finalist, is the seven seed. Levi Haynes, this year's national champion as a sophomore, is the number 10 seed. And Mitchell Messenbrink, his collegiate teammate, who was an NCAA runner-up at 165 this year, comes in as the number five seed there at that weight. That is, again, going to be a whole lot of fun to watch. 86 kilos probably has the most interest nationally. David Taylor is in the overall finals. Zahid Valencia, former Arizona great, is in the mini tournament finals. Aaron Brooks is the number one seed in the mini tournament. Chance Marsteller, the former Lock Haven standout, is the number two seed. And it is a who's who after that. Trent Hidley from North Carolina State and out of Mifflin County is the three seed. You have Carter Storace is a six seed. Mark Hall, former Penn State standout, is a five seed. And Connor Mirasola, incoming recruit for Penn State, is the number nine seed at that weight. And then at 97 kilos, you have Kyle Snyder from the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, the former Ohio State great, in the overall finals. Jaden Cox is the number one seed, the former Missouri great, at that weight in the mini tournament. And a couple wrestlers of note there. Isaac Trumbull is the two seed, former NC State standout. Michael Machiavello, another NC State standout, is three, and Colin Moore from Ohio State is the four seed there. And then at 125 kilos, it'll be Mason Paris already in the finals. Nick Wisdowski is the two seed. Hayden Zilmer, the one seed in the mini tournament. And then you have Greg Kirkfleet, the Nittany Lion heavyweight, who won the national title this past year, in there as the number three seed, would be the wrestler of greatest interest for Penn State fans. So that's just a brief synopsis. Again, some of these matchups, even in the first or second round, are just bouts that will have wrestling fans salivating at the prospects of being able to witness these matches. It's going to be two great days of wrestling here at the Bryce Jordan Center.
Well, we are running out of time here for quarter number one. I do have a couple more questions for you on the event, Jeff. I will get to that right after we take this break. Stick with us. If you're a wrestling fan, you want to hear more from Jeff.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. Before we get to Penn State football talk, we are talking about wrestling and the Olympic trials that are happening on campus at Penn State at the Bryce Jordan Center. My takeaway, Jeff, as you describe this, especially when you're naming these Penn State wrestlers who are like national champions, well, they're seated sixth or fifth. It's amazing the caliber. I would think if you're a Penn State wrestling fan, where normally like you go through this season in a dual meet, Penn State's going to win. I mean, and some of these guys, I'll call it barely a challenge for them. But if you want to see the Penn State wrestlers, along with a lot of other wrestlers, at the very elite level, you can't miss this event.
No, and it is. Some of these matchups are ones that you would draw up in, like, I would love to see what would happen if, like, Starace and Brooks could occur. And I've had a lot of people ask me, and it's like, well, I mean, they go hard in the room. It's hard to tell you who would win in an actual matchup between the two. Now, Carter obviously is going up a weight class, and Aaron is losing some weight to get down there. So, you know, how the weight loss or gain impacts some of these wrestlers at various weight classes, you know, factors into this as well. But yeah, from a Penn State perspective, I mean, I don't think Kale Sanderson or the program could have asked for a better situation in hosting this event this year, where there's so much, obviously, interest anyway in Penn State wrestling, but to have so many former Nittany Lions, current, and again, a few future Nittany Lions all competing and getting to see some of these guys take on some of the other best wrestlers in the world. It is a very special opportunity. And, you know, I know there's some folks that we debate all the time whether freestyle or folk style is better. Folk style is what we see in high school and college wrestling here in the United States. I think freestyle is getting closer to folk style, so that I don't think it's that great of a transition. Certainly the mat wrestling is much different, but I think it translates well now. And while, you know, some fans might not know some of the intricacies of some of the rules, I think you get the basic gist here now of freestyle, and I don't think it's going to be a hard follow for college wrestling fans who come out to check out this event.
Well, like I said, it's got to be a must-see for Penn State wrestling fans. And if you can't make it out, we've got Jeff Byers' involvement. How are you involved? Where could they find, if they want to hear your voice, tell them what's going on. If they can't make it to Bryce Jordan, how do they listen to you, Jeff?
Yeah, well, I want to give a big shout-out to Gary Abbott with USA Wrestling. He was instrumental and very helpful. And a huge thank you to NBC Sports, which has the rights to this, and it is streaming on Peacock. And we were able to work out an agreement with NBC that we will not provide streaming. So if you go to our 98.7thefox.com website, where normally you hear our programming, we are cutting it off there because of the Peacock streaming this event. Makes perfect sense, but they've given us the right to air it in the State College area on the 98.7 FM signal. So now we had already committed to a high school baseball event, the Hardball Center County Hardball Classic on Saturday. So we're going to have live coverage of all of the action Friday in both sessions, starting at 10 a.m. and then at 6 p.m. And then on Saturday, the wrestling resumes at 10 a.m. and then the finals will get underway at 6:30. We will have continuous updates throughout our coverage of baseball, so you will be up to date. Even though we won't have live play-by-play action on Saturday, you will be kept apprised of everything that is happening here at the Bryce Jordan Center on Saturday as well.
Well, an absolute fantastic event. Jeff, good luck with it. I know, as always, you will be fantastic with it. How about we talk some football? What do you think?
Oh, let's do it.
All right. Let's give you the final word on the blue-white game. What are the things that stood out to you before we kind of fast forward to the post-blue-white and we essentially ask the question, what now? It was a strange weather day, a lot of wind, as you and I talked about. Our tailgate got winded out. But watching the game, what were your takeaways?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I am excited to see this Kotelniki offense, and I do think there's going to be some dynamic changes to what we saw a year ago with this offense. I am not one of those all concerned or doubt on Drew Aller. It was a very windy day. I think they're still working on getting, you know, everything synced up here timing wise. Obviously, Keandre Lambert Smith moving on, and now you know, Mega as well, Malik Mega. So I think, you know, they're still sifting through exactly how this is going to work. I am not worried about Drew Aller. That's not the component of the offense that is a concern to me. I'm not sure how much we really learned. The defense, I think, looked good, but when you know kind of what is coming and you, I don't take too much away from it in terms of actual evaluation, certainly from a team perspective, but even from an individual standpoint, I don't think you can get carried away. That being said, I did think the tight ends, as we thought, looked good. I thought Rojas looked phenomenal. Again, no surprises there. But at the end of the day, I just think it was a fun day for fans to be able to get a little taste of Penn State football and for the players to get out there and be able to showcase themselves a little bit in front of the fans, those that were able to withstand the windy conditions on Saturday.
And you know what, Jeff? I have had some people talk to me or listener response about the players that missed, that didn't play. And I had absolutely zero issue with it because everywhere Tyler Warren doesn't play, I'm like, good. I know how good he is. I want to see some of the other players.
Yes.
Nick Singleton, Katron Allen out. Good. I want to see who that next guy is. Offensive line, the prospective tackles, it kind of might have been nice to see Donka play and Drew Shelton.
Yeah.
But it gave us the chance to see all that, the next generation of players, Jeff.
Agreed. And I think, to be honest with you, again, fans may have wanted to see it, but I think the coaches getting in that scrimmage environment and, having the fans, whatever fans were there, adds a different component to it. And I do think you want to see how players respond. I don't know that it necessarily, again, gives you a great indication of, okay, these guys are ready for the Ohio State game or anything like that. But it's, again, just another part of the evaluation process. And yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there was anybody who didn't play where you're like, boy, I'd really like to see how they're progressing. I think you know those guys have progressed. And more importantly, I guess the coaches know those guys have progressed to where they're comfortable with them. So, the blue-white game for me is more about the young kids, and I'm not talking on the football team. I'm talking about like the 6 to 10 year olds out there that are following the program, having the opportunity to just go up, sit close to the field, see that. It's much more about just the fan experience to me than it is, all right, we're actually gleaning great insight in the upcoming season. Now, because of the new two new coordinators, do I think we got a little idea of what's happening? Yeah, but did we get any more idea than what the folks that are on the beat have been providing throughout spring? I don't think we really did.
Well, I'm not the 6 to 10 year old, Jeff, but I'll tell you the part that I enjoyed. The obvious players, I like seeing Ethan Grunkmeyer play.
Yep.
I like seeing Quentin Martin play. I like seeing Cam Wallace play. I like seeing that run that London Montgomery made that, was like, wow, pretty shifty there. I loved seeing those guys play.
Yeah, I agreed on all of that. And I also like seeing, again, I'm just, for me, I like seeing some of the interactions with the coaches and the players and then the players themselves, even like between plays on the sideline, after a big play one way or the other. And again, I'm not sitting here telling you that, the camaraderie in the blue-white game was such that now we know Penn State can go contend for a national title because those guys were close. But I'm just telling you, there's little things that you see that I really like, where guys are coming to the sideline, young guys after a big play or a good play, and they're getting congratulated heartily by upperclassmen, the pass to the helmet, pass to the back, all of that stuff. to me, that stuff is significant. And I think it does bode well for the unity and, you know, the communication that we keep talking about that I think is really good on this team, where they truly do have a clear understanding of what it is they're trying to do and how they each fit into the bigger picture of what the program is trying to do.
And Jeff, yeah, you can't take away anything great. Many of the players were quoted as saying you saw about 5% of the offense. You didn't see the things that would be creative in any way. And again, I don't have a problem with that. I didn't go into this game to see the Andy Kotelnicki offense. That's not part of this. It's combined the fan experience like you talked about. We're in this desert with no football for 9 months, and to get just a little drink of water here is a lot of fun. And to get a glimpse of, like I said, the younger players, that they're going to be the players come 2025 and 2026. I look at that, this game, as a preview of that, Jeff. All right, that is it for quarter two. We've got more to talk about when we come back.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology, where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We finally got off of wrestling, got ourselves back into football here, Jeff. But before we get started with quarter three, just a reminder, next Wednesday, the 24th of April, we are going to have another one of our live events at the Cafe 210, downtown State College. We're working with the women's athletics group, Teammates for Life. We've been highlighting the different women's sports. A couple months ago, we had women's basketball coach, Coach Keeger, on. We then, last month, we did the women's softball team, who, by the way, are playing really well this season. And this week, we're going to be talking to the women's lacrosse team. The women's coach, Missy Doherty, will be there. Again, we've had a great time doing these. Please join us if you're in State College, downtown State College, at the Cafe. We'll be starting up around 5:30. Looking forward to it. Hope you can make it out to join us. All right, Jeff, we were talking football. We were talking takeaways from the spring game. I thought it was fun to watch the running backs. We got a glimpse of the young tight ends. We got a glimpse of Ethan Grunkmeyer. The other area that I thought was interesting to watch was the offensive line. You didn't have the presumptive starting tackles there, Drew Shelton and Anthony Donka. You also didn't have Sal Warmley there. But it gave us a chance to see, how about depth of the offensive line, Jeff?
Well, and we've been talking about it for so long, Jim, that is, I think, kind of the, at least in my mind, the last piece of the puzzle here is getting to the point where you have a really good to great offensive line and where you can lose a guy like Fashanu and not feel like the world is going to collapse the following season. I'm not saying there's not going to be any drop off, but much like, I think with the cornerbacks, and by the way, that was another, I thought good sign was the cornerback play in the blue-white game on Saturday moving forward. But I think when you get to the point where, again, you lose a great player, there may be a drop-off, but it's not going to be a precipitous fall where it's like, oh, man, now what do we do for the following season? And I think you're seeing that throughout the program, certainly. But to me, the offensive line now being able to feel, I think, pretty comfortable with the two deep now, and maybe in a couple of spots, even three deep. I don't think that is, again, insignificant when you're talking about trying to take that next step and become a legit national title contender.
And I think that depth is so important at offensive line, because you're not likely to finish the season with that same starting five as you started with. Teams get nicked up. Offensive linemen get nicked up. We know that happens. And so you're going to need that depth. So that's great to have it. All right, Jeff, I want to segue into, all right, now the spring game is done. Spring practice is over. You know what that means. We are now smack dab in the middle of transfer portal season. As of right now, Penn State has lost two players. No surprise, two wide receivers, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Malik Mega, have both entered the portal. Let's start with Lambert-Smith. Really, I'm not sure how to describe his career at Penn State. Certainly up and down.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I don't know what all factors into it, but certainly the production, obviously, as last season went along, was not what you were expecting. I think what anybody was expecting from Lambert-Smith. And whether or not, you know, how much of that had to do with the scheme, how much of it had to do, you know, I have no idea if there were any injuries that we don't know about, or, you know, problems that we weren't aware of, that something was just nagging at him. Who knows? But I think it's been interesting, Jim, because I don't know what your take is, but I've read a few columns after that saying that, boy, this makes wide receiver really urgent, and Penn State has to hit the transfer portal hard. And I'm not reading it that way. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Penn State isn't looking, and if there's a great receiver and he fits in, that no, Penn State's going to say, no, we're good. But I don't think there's urgency there at the wide receiver position. And in listening to James Franklin, and really Drew Aller and Bo Prabula and the other receivers, again, I'm not saying that there's no chance they'll take somebody in the transfer portal, but one, they got to get the numbers down still from a scholarship standpoint. But two, I really think they're solid with what they have. I don't think it's a great need. I think Fleming was a great need, and getting him in here, not just from an ability standpoint, but I think his leadership in that group is huge going into this year. And I think Wallace, and having the experience he had, and, you know, I think a couple of those guys are ready to take that next step. Now, they have to go out and do it, I'll grant you. But I don't think there's any great urgency here. Again, Lambert-Smith was not that productive last year. It's not like you're trying to replace a guy that went out and grabbed 80 catches and, you know, 15 touchdowns for you last year.
I'm in agreement with you, Jeff, and I'm even a little bit surprised. I'm reading the national stories about the transfer portal, and I just saw something where, and again, it's early in the portal, but they ranked the top 10 portal players, and Lambert-Smith was ranked fifth in the country as far as a portal player. And you're hearing some of these names of schools that are interested in him. And candidly, I don't see it after watching his performance last year. And I also got the feeling, you know, late in the year when they changed coordinators, you saw very little, if any, of Lambert-Smith. And, you know, I circle back to the question. We all were convinced he was going to leave after the season and were surprised that he stuck around through the spring. So I'm with you that, not to disparage Lambert-Smith, but it's one of those, this wide receiver room did not perform well last year with Lambert Smith. You know what? They can still get that same poor quality without him, okay? They don't need him for that, is my feeling. The other part to it, and I just want to maybe just reemphasize what you said about Julian Fleming coming in. What he gives you, and Andy Shea and I have this conversation a lot, he's not one of these super-duper stars who's just going to light it up, but he is just so solid, will be that short to intermediate guy. They didn't have that last year. This is a solid guy who's going to be starting at one wide receiver position wide. Trey Wallace, I've always been a big Trey Wallace guy. To me, it's just a question of health. So what you have with Lambert Smith, in my opinion, he would have been set up as that slot guy, maybe even the third guy among this group. And I think that's easier to replace, and with the talent they have, and, you know, Omari Evans, Caden Saunders, Liam Clifford, I see them as slot guys who could fill in that position.
Yeah, and I think a couple of them, like, I think Evans and Saunders, I think both, Jim, have the talent to be really good, like to make a huge jump forward in the upcoming season. And, you know, I don't know that we'll ever know or find out for sure, but just talking to a few people around the program, I'm not even sure that this was necessarily Lambert Smith saying, all right, I got to get out of here, as much as it may have been, Keandre, listen, we appreciate everything you've done, but it's looking like, you know, we can go some other directions here. You know, could we maybe help you find a new home? Because again, it's a numbers game right now for Penn State, and they've got to get the numbers down. And I don't know anything, and I could be completely wrong here. I suspect this was much more a mutual agreement anyway than it was Lambert Smith just kind of leaving Penn State in the lurch. I don't think this is a move that, one, caught Penn State off guard, meaning the coaches, and two, and like you, I'm not disparaging Lambert Smith. I think he gave a lot to this program, and he may very well go on and have very good success in the upcoming season. I just think Penn State was at a point where they feel very comfortable with some of the other guys trying to get a more prominent role in this offense. And for whatever reason, again, it could be personality, it could be just style of play, but I get the feeling they want to see Evans and Saunders in particular. And I think Clifford figures in there as well. I just think Clifford, I think, is kind of your reliable. Yep, we can throw him in there when we need a catch. But I think both Saunders and Evans have a chance to become more dynamic players here within the offense.
I agree with you. And in fact, I wrote down like an adjective for each one of those. Clifford, solid. Saunders, shifty. Omari Evans, speedy. McLean, size, okay?
Yeah.
They each offer something a little bit different. So I'm going to be fascinated by how Andy Kotelnicki will use those things. So there was obviously last year, just way too often, we heard the expression on TV, well, the quarterback and wide receiver weren't on the same page. I don't want to hear that again, Jeff.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think, maybe I'm putting too much stock in what some would say is coach speak, but I really think the emphasis on communication, and James Franklin talking about how this was such an important pre-spring practice time for he and the other coaches, the new coordinators and the other coaches, to get on the same page. And we're just hearing time and time again from all of them, not just Franklin, not just the coordinators, but, you know, Terry Smith was adamant that this is one of the best springs he's ever had, and that the communication was a big part of it, that everybody, again, just seems to understand what it is they're trying to do, understand their role, and I think that is going to pay dividends in the fall.
I do too, Jeff. All right, that is going to be it for quarter number three, but we are not done with this conversation. I have some more questions for you, Jeff. We'll get to that in quarter number four.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. It's quarter number four. We're talking Penn State football post-blue-white game. And Jeff, It's that transfer portal window right now. So far, as of this recording, Lambert Smith, Malik Mega, both wide receivers are out the door in the transfer portal. And it kind of leads to the question of how do you as a program make use of the portal? We're talking about the wide receiver position where it's tough. They have so many numbers there, such quantity, it would be tough to bring in another wide receiver, but if you get a great opportunity, I don't think you bring in a guy with potential. I think you bring in a guy who you know will play. Other than that, you don't.
Yeah, I think, so this is my thinking on the transfer portal for Penn State this year, like right now, is I think they are in that position that like NFL teams dream about being in where you're going into the draft, and it's like, we don't really have a glaring need. We'll just take best player available and see what we can do. I don't think Penn State has a glaring need where it's like, boy, they've got to address this somehow, some way in the portal. I think it really is a situation where I don't think they need anything. I think if they come out of the portal with nothing, I don't think it's a devastating situation in any way for the Nittany Lions. But again, do I think they need to look at it? And yes, if you can get a player that you think can contribute and can be help in any position, yeah, by all means, you go out there and you do it, and then you make the numbers work and you do what you have to do to accommodate it. But I think it is a great situation for the program because even at wide receiver, I don't think there's a glaring need. I don't think if Penn State comes up completely empty in terms of bringing anybody in the transfer portal, I think they're fine. To me, there's not a situation, again, where it's like, oh, boy, if they don't address this now, they are just in a hole. I don't see that anywhere. Are there some spots where maybe you'd like some more depth? And, again, would you take an impact player in some spots? For sure. But so again, I think they're actively looking at the portal. I think any team, every team has to be doing that. But I think Penn State can be really selective here in terms of who they even talk to and who they try to get. And I think they will be very selective. And unless it's somebody that they really think is going to fit in well, again, personality-wise and all of that, fit into the program, and then, you know, a very close second, be a significant contributor in some way in the upcoming season, I think they'll be content with the roster they have.
I'm with you. It's get a difference maker in. Let me ask it in a little more general way, not just with Penn State, because I think they are in great position. But how does one navigate the portal nationally, you know, with different teams? We see what Deion Sanders is doing in Colorado, which is essentially, he's not even bothering with high school recruitment. He's just saying, I'm going to bring talent in from the portal. And there's some argument for that. There's some, yep. hey, you know what? A kid coming out of high school, he's 18 years old. We don't really know what we're getting from the portal, especially if it's a guy with some experience and so on. Does that play into how you build your program? Do you think, look at how many transfer quarterbacks have succeeded. All the, you know, the Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, all guys who are going to be first-round draft picks, they're all transfer people. Joe Burrow was a transfer quarterback. How do you, as a coach in general, not just with Penn State this year, Jeff, but in general, how do you navigate it?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. One is, I don't think, and this is just, somebody that's never been in coaching, so take it for what it's worth. The way I would approach it is, I don't know that you need to have a, firm policy that this is just how we handle transfers and we'll only look at these positions or this number. Like, to me, it's a very fluid thing. And we've talked about, James Franklin has been pretty selective and very good about, hey, we need some cornerbacks. Voila, here's some cornerbacks. And by the way, again, I think that was a good sign. AJ Harris in particular, I think, was just looked the part of a guy that can do some good things here in the upcoming season. But I think they've been very good about, Penn State has, getting the right people in the right place. That being said, if you get a year where, hey, for whatever reason, 5-6 key players leave, they go into the transfer portal, you graduate a bunch of seniors. Like, I don't think James Franklin is sitting there telling you that, well, no, we would never take 15, 20. Man, if the need is there, then you do it. I think you have some general idea of what you want to do. And I think you set up those general guidelines for your program and what you're trying to do. But again, can there be exceptions to that? Absolutely. So I think, one, no matter where you're at, you don't want to be rigid either way. And I think even Deion Sanders, I get the, more polished player and having the experience under his belt. But I think you're foolish if you're not looking at the 4 or 5-star recruits, right, and saying, hey, let's, try to build from within here as well. To me, it is a combination these days, Jim, and I think you're foolish if you're a coach to not be constantly looking at the high school ranks, obviously, constantly re-recruiting your team, the squad you already have, and then, yeah, you better be constantly looking at the portal and figuring out, again, if there's 6 guys that you think are better than the guys you have on your roster and you think you can get them in, to me, you're foolish to not go out there and try to bring them in. Again, if they fit in culturally, and I do think, and that gets, that gets a little tricky sometimes, because I think almost any coach, probably any coach, I'll take out the almost, I think any coach is willing to take risks here and there, right? It's like, oh, I don't know if this guy fits in, but my God, he is so fast, or he has such a strong arm. Coaches, yes, you want culture guys. You also want talent, and you're willing to take a risk, all coaches, on, at least some guys sometimes. Now, the tolerance level may vary program to program, coach to coach, in terms of numbers, but all coaches are going to, hey, I think I can work with this guy. He might not be what we want right now. Culturally, might be a little bit of an ego, but I think we can get him in here with our other guys and work with him. And my gosh, what he can do on the football field, we'll take that risk.
I'm glad you brought up James Franklin, because I really think he's handled it so well with the portal. He's hit so many more often than not. And, people like Ibukidi, Chop Robinson, Johnny Dixon. And there's some where, Chop Robinson, I think Penn State fully expected him to come in here and excel, which he did.
Yeah.
You were getting that kind of player. But a Johnny Dixon, when they first brought him in, I'm like, do they really need another cornerback? I didn't see it. They saw something in him. And my goodness, by the end of his career at Penn State, I said, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
I defer to you, James. You did the right thing there. Now we look at it, this also ability, and it kind of goes hand in hand. James Franklin likes to bring in players that he had recruited, so he had already a relationship, and these are often guys who are local or close by. So you have a Julian Fleming, who's a local kid, Pennsylvania guy, who went to Ohio State. It's a natural for him to come back. Nolan Rucci, it's the same kind of thing for him. The third running back that they brought from Minnesota, who's from Williamsport.
Trey Potts. Came in,
thank you, Trey Potts. Another example of that. So I think they've been very selective. It's positions of need. Guys who, you know, they brought them home. There seems to be a theme here with how James Franklin has handled it. Not saying the other ways are wrong, because there's going to be, especially at the quarterback position, if you watch, Ohio State has like four or five star quarterbacks on their roster right now. Well, guess what? Only one's going to get the job. They're going to be leaving. You know, you could probably do a good job as a school at quarterback if you just wait for, you know, Ohio State's leftovers.
Yeah. How about it? And again, you know, I think Ohio State's smart to let's bring a bunch of guys in if we can and see who, you know, it's kind of similar to what Penn State Wrestling's doing, where they're bringing in, you know, people are like, well, how are all these recruits going to fit in the lineup? They're not, is the answer. Eventually, yeah, some of these guys are likely to go elsewhere, or they'll, you know, be content to be on the bench. But more likely, again, they're going to go elsewhere, but they want that opportunity to be part of, you know, a program that's special. And sometimes when you get, you know, like Bo Nix going to Oregon and a lot of other quarterback examples, right? You go through that experience, you're around a great program, you soak that stuff up, and you can use it to your benefit and obviously to the program that you end up at, to their benefit as well. And quarterback is just such a, well, it's the key position, obviously, in football, that if you can get the guy for your program in a given year, that, I mean, that is the difference between being a national champion or a playoff caliber team and being in that next tier. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I think you still wish you could just bring in that high-level guy from high school, that four- or five-star guy, and build around him. Have them in your program for multiple years. I think that's the optimal way to do it. But yeah, if I have a time of need, know that I could go out there into the portal and find a better way to go. I think the bottom line is both of us agree James Franklin has handled the portal pretty well. And going into this season, I see the same kind of thing. You know, just a glaring hole at wide receiver got filled by Julian Fleming.
Yep.
A glaring hole at cornerback, A.J. Harris, looks like the real deal. So kudos to James Franklin on that. All right, that's going to have to be it, Jeff. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.